Okay, so get this. Picture Europe, like almost completely covered in forests, 86% on average. That's what researchers are saying the continent looked like centuries ago before humans started really changing things up. Today it's down to a mean of 34% forest cover.
Big change.
Huge shame. So we're going deep into this research article.
Okay.
It's called Maintaining Natural and Traditional Cultural Green Infrastructures Across Europe
Interesting.
to see what this big shift actually means for us.
Well, it's interesting because the forest loss wasn't just random, you know? The study shows that the areas with the best conditions for growing, like fertile soil, those were the first to be converted
That makes sense.
for agriculture and other uses.
Prime real estate?
Exactly, prime real estate for farming.
Yeah, humans gotta eat.
Right.
But it makes you think about how we even find space for nature now.
Exactly. That's the challenge facing green infrastructure planning these days. Trying to create these networks of natural areas when we've already got this landscape so shaped by what humans have been doing for centuries.
So help me out here a little bit. When we talk about green infrastructure,
Yeah.
it's not just trees, right? It's bigger than
It
that.
is. It's a broader concept.
Okay.
Think of it as like a combination of those pristine ecosystems,
Right.
those untouched areas, and then what they call traditional cultural landscapes.
Okay.
So these are areas that have been shaped by generations of like low intensity human use, often with like unique practices that actually help biodiversity.
I see.
So think about like ancient oak woodlands
Yeah.
or wood pastures, stuff like that.
So these green infrastructure areas, whether they're more natural forests or the landscapes shaped by those traditional practices, we've
No.
got to hold on to them.
Yeah.
But how do we even know how we're doing? This study uses something called forest canopy loss.
Yeah.
So break that down for me.
It's actually a really good way to understand how intensely we're managing our forests. So basically, the more trees that are being cut down, the more intense those forestry practices are likely to be.
So it's like we're taking the pulse of the forest almost.
Yeah,
More canopy loss equals more intense management.
exactly.
Gotcha.
And the study looked at how this is playing out across Europe,
Okay.
specifically in 16 different regions, comparing their current forest cover to this canopy loss thing.
This is where I got a little confused.
Okay.
Portugal, Spain, Turkey, and Scotland,
Right.
they all show up with low forest cover,
Yeah.
but high canopy loss.
Interesting, right?
Yeah, why would areas with less forest to begin with
Yeah.
be losing so much canopy?
That's a really good question. So let's think about Portugal and Spain for a second.
Okay.
They have these unique landscapes.
Okay.
They're called dehesas in Spain
Okay.
and montados in Portugal. So picture it like a savanna,
Okay.
scattered trees, open grasslands,
Right.
shaped by centuries of grazing and sustainable practices.
Oh, so these savannas are part of the green infrastructure in
Exactly.
those areas.
Yeah, they're biodiversity hotspots.
Not just pretty to look at.
Not just pretty landscapes, no, but here's the thing.
Okay.
They're fragile because of like shifting economics, changing land use. Those traditional practices are getting harder to maintain,
Yeah.
so they're under pressure.
It all sounds so complex
It
with all
is.
these different factors at play.
Absolutely.
How do we make sense of it?
Well, what the researchers did is they grouped these 16 different study areas
Okay.
into five distinct social ecological contexts.
Okay.
So think of these as like snapshots
Okay.
of different approaches to managing the land
Right.
and green infrastructure.
Okay.
Each one has its own implications, you know?
Five contexts. Okay.
Yeah.
Lay it on me. What's the first one?
So the first one is called radical transformation.
Whoa, intense.
Yeah, pretty dramatic, right? And we see this happening in Turkey, Scotland, and parts of Russia. Each of those areas is going through like a major shift in its green infrastructure.
Give me an example.
So let's look at Turkey.
Okay.
They have these super valuable ancient oak woodlands, but they're being replaced with conifer plantations for
Oh,
timber production.
I
So
see.
it's a huge loss for biodiversity
Yeah.
and those unique ecosystems.
Oh, it's sad.
Yeah, it is. It's sad. But then
Yeah.
you look at Scotland,
Right.
they're actually doing something completely different.
Oh.
They're actually removing some of their older conifer plantations,
Interesting.
a lot of which were planted on what was originally oak woodland,
Oh, wow.
and they're working to restore the native oak woodlands.
That's
So
cool.
it's hopeful, right?
It's
We
hopeful.
can turn things around sometime.
Like they're reclaiming a piece of their natural history.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, what about Russia?
So Russia has some of Europe's last intact forests.
Oh, wow.
Untouched.
Wow.
But those forests are facing a lot of pressure from logging.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Especially on the edges of those pristine areas.
Yeah.
So it's that classic battle preserving these amazing ecosystems
yeah.
versus the economic interests of timber.
Okay, so radical transformation is about these big shifts.
Yeah.
And how we're using the land sometimes shifts that can't be reversed.
Big time changes.
Okay, what's the next context?
So the next one is protected areas under pressure.
That sounds tricky.
Yeah, and the examples here are from Poland and Lithuania.
Okay.
And they raise these questions about how effective protected status really is.
When other needs come up.
Exactly.
I see.
So think about the Białowieża Forest.
Okay.
In Poland.
Yeah.
It's a UNESCO World Heritage Site.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah, one of the most important natural areas in Europe.
Mm.
But even with that designation,
yeah,
it's caught between these logging interests
I see.
And conservation efforts.
Tough choices.
Really tough.
So even setting aside land
yeah.
for protection.
It doesn't guarantee it's safe.
From all those pressures.
Not at all. And then there's Lithuania.
Okay.
They've got a similar problem in Dzūkija National Park.
Mm.
They're seeing a lot of forest loss because of privatization.
Right, because when it's private,
yeah.
people want to make money from it.
Exactly. The incentive to make money from the timber
yeah.
can be a lot stronger than the incentive to protect the biodiversity.
So even our protected areas aren't immune
nope.
to these challenges.
Not at all.
Sobering thought.
It is.
Okay, what about context number three?
Okay, so this one brings us back to those ancient cultural landscapes.
Okay.
Specifically the ones in Spain and Portugal.
Those savanna-like ones, yeah.
Exactly, the dehesas and montados.
Yeah.
They're a great example of how humans and nature can coexist.
Right, for a long time.
For a long time, and even thrive together.
So when we talk about green infrastructure,
yeah,
what makes these places so special?
Well, it's because they represent centuries
wow.
of land management practices
mm.
that are so connected to biodiversity. They're not just beautiful to look at. They support all kinds of plants and animals
right.
that depend on that unique mix of the trees, open areas, and the grazing.
But you said they're fragile. What are the threats they're facing?
Well, the main challenge is, like, the economics are changing. Mm. Traditional grazing practices are getting harder
yeah.
in some areas, which leads to abandonment
right.
or intensification. And both of those can damage the ecosystems.
Yeah.
So it really makes you think, how do we support these landscapes
yeah.
in a world that's changing all the time?
Yeah, it seems like finding a way to honor those traditions but adapt to today's world
is
really key.
Absolutely.
Okay, what's the next context on our list?
Right, so number four is multifunctional forests.
Okay.
So we see this in Austria,
okay.
Georgia, North Macedonia, the Netherlands, Slovakia, and northern Sweden.
That's a lot of places.
It is. It's a diverse group. But what unites them
yeah.
is the idea of managing forests for a bunch of different benefits,
mm-hmm.
not just timber.
So it's like a more well-rounded approach?
Yeah, much more balanced.
Yeah.
So like a great example is Austria.
Okay.
Their focus is on what they call continuous cover forestry.
Okay.
So that means they manage the forest so that there's a mix of tree ages and species.
I see.
So it helps the biodiversity.
Right.
But it also protects against things like avalanches.
Oh, because the trees are holding the soil.
Yeah, because you've got that continuous cover
right.
on steep slopes.
Interesting.
It's a great model for how to balance human needs and keep things healthy ecologically.
It seems like they're thinking about how the whole forest works together.
Exactly, a holistic view.
Yeah, what about Georgia and North Macedonia? What are they doing?
So they're doing something really cool.
Okay.
They have protected areas.
Okay.
But they let local communities use the forests in traditional ways.
I see.
As long as those practices are sustainable.
That's neat.
Yeah, it's a cool mix of conservation and traditional knowledge.
Yeah.
Which is often the best approach.
It's like recognizing that people are a part of the ecosystem.
Yeah.
Not separate from it.
Exactly.
Okay, so what about the Netherlands and Slovakia?
Those guys are focused on recreation.
Okay.
So their forests are mainly managed. So people can enjoy them.
That makes sense.
Which shows that we can have both human enjoyment and biodiversity.
Wow. So we've got avalanche protection.
Yeah.
Traditional use.
Hmm.
Recreation.
Yeah.
It seems like multifunctional forests can look really different.
They can. So the last example wow. is northern Sweden.
Okay.
And they have these massive areas of protected forests.
Okay.
But they're low productive.
Mm.
It's kind of a glimpse of what happens when nature is just left alone.
Yeah.
Really different from the others.
Okay, so we've covered radical transformation.
Yeah.
Protected areas under pressure.
Yeah.
Ancient cultural landscapes.
Yeah.
And multifunctional forests.
Yeah.
What's the last one?
Okay, so the last one's a little different.
Okay.
It's intensive, even-aged forest management.
Okay.
And the main example is southern Sweden.
Okay.
They've been maximizing timber production for a long time.
Okay.
So that leaves a lot of clear cutting and planting trees that are all the same age, which means high canopy loss.
Because they're taking out big chunks of trees.
Exactly.
At once.
Right. So it's the opposite of that continuous cover thing.
Totally opposite.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it makes you think, right?
Yeah.
About the trade-offs between the economics
right.
and the ecological impact.
Yeah. Is it really sustainable?
That's a big question. Yeah.
Especially when we need that green infrastructure.
Absolutely.
It's a conversation that's happening all over the world.
Everywhere.
So we've gotten this like whirlwind tour of five really different contexts.
Yeah.
For managing land and thinking about green infrastructure.
Totally different approaches.
What does it all mean? Mm. What are the big takeaways?
I think what's really cool here is that green infrastructure, it's not just about protecting like pristine nature. It's about figuring out how human actions and natural systems work together and how we can manage that whole relationship to benefit both biodiversity and us.
It's like we need both those visions of green infrastructure.
Yeah.
The untouched ecosystems and those landscapes that humans have shaped over time.
Exactly. And the study really points out how important it is to adapt strategies
yeah.
to the specifics of each region.
Yeah.
Like there's no one size fits all when it comes to green infrastructure.
So what does all this mean for the future of Europe's landscapes? I mean, are we going to keep losing these important green infrastructure areas?
Well, not necessarily, but it's going to take some real effort.
Yeah.
To change direction. The future really depends on how well we can balance those competing needs.
Like what?
Well, you've got the economic interests.
Right.
Conservation goals.
Yeah.
And what local communities need.
Yeah. It's a lot.
It's a lot to juggle.
It's like this complicated puzzle.
Yeah.
With so many moving pieces.
A lot of moving pieces.
Yeah. And then you throw climate change into the mix.
Right.
It's like those goalposts for green infrastructure are constantly moving.
Exactly. What worked in the past.
Right.
Might not work in the future.
We can't just keep doing the same old thing.
Nope. We have to adapt and find new ways to make landscapes resilient.
It's like when we talked about those five contexts.
Yeah.
It seems like there's a whole spectrum
yeah.
from that radical transformation,
right.
often leading to losing green infrastructure,
yeah.
to those multifunctional landscapes
yeah.
where humans and nature are working together better.
That's a great way to put it. It shows we have choices.
Yeah.
We can stick with that radical transformation route.
Yeah.
Which prioritizes short-term economic gains
right.
over the long-term.
Sustainability.
Yeah. Or we can choose to invest in ways that let us meet our needs
yeah.
while also protecting those vital green spaces.
But those choices.
Right.
They're not easy.
No, not at all. You're dealing with social and economic systems too.
It's more than just the ecology.
It's so much more.
It feels like it takes everyone working together to make any real progress.
Absolutely. We need scientists, policymakers, local communities, economic actors. Everyone has to be involved to find solutions that work for everyone.
So it's like a collaborative approach
yep.
to managing landscapes,
yeah.
one that takes into account how everything is connected.
Totally, yeah.
So what else really jumped out at you from this study? Anything surprising?
One thing that really struck me
yeah.
was how much they emphasized understanding the history of these landscapes.
Yeah.
They say, we need to learn from the past.
Makes sense.
To make good decisions about the future.
Hmm.
They even call Europe a time machine for knowledge production.
I love that.
It's cool, right?
It's like we can look back in time to see how different practices have shaped the landscape.
Yeah.
And then use that knowledge to do better moving forward.
That's it. And it also helps us appreciate the cultural value of these landscapes.
Yeah, not just the ecological part.
Exactly. Those cultural landscapes, they reflect centuries of human ingenuity.
Yeah.
Adaptation. They show our relationship with nature.
So it's about protecting those legacies for the future.
Yeah.
It's more than just checking off boxes on a conservation list.
It's about recognizing those connections between people and place.
Right.
And finding ways to keep those connections strong so everyone benefits.
This has been really eye-opening.
Yeah.
It's like green infrastructure is about way more than just protecting beautiful places.
Hmm.
It's about how interconnected everything is, nature, culture,
yeah,
economics, our own well-being.
It all ties together.
Yeah.
And it reminds us that we have choices to make.
Right.
The future isn't decided yet.
Yeah.
It's being shaped by what we do right now, both individually and as a society.
So if we want a future with healthy landscapes,
yeah,
landscapes that support both us and all the biodiversity out there,
yeah,
we've got to start making different choices.
We do.
Choices that focus on the long term, on sustainability, not just short-term gains.
Right.
Choices that recognize the value of both natural and cultural heritage. Choices that embrace how interconnected everything is.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Wow.
We've only just scratched the surface today.
Yeah.
But I hope this has given you a lot to think about.
Definitely.
Keep exploring these ideas. Dig deeper into the examples from the study.
Okay.
And think critically about the choices we're making for the future of our landscapes.
Absolutely.
Because understanding that complex relationship between humans and nature.
Yeah.
That's key to creating a sustainable world.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground.
We have.
The history of Europe's landscapes, the challenges of managing green infrastructure,
yep,
the trade-offs between competing demands,
right,
and the need for a more collaborative approach to landscape planning.
All the big stuff.
So what are the main takeaways for our listeners? I mean, it's a lot to think about.
It is.
It's easy to feel overwhelmed by it all.
Yeah.
Talking about huge landscapes. Yeah.
Centuries of history.
Right.
The future of the planet.
It's big.
Where do we even start?
I get that. It can feel like a lot.
Yeah.
But I think the most important thing is to remember that change starts locally.
Okay.
Even small things can make a difference.
Mm.
What really stood out to you from all this?
You know, what really stuck with me?
Yeah.
Were those cultural landscapes.
Mm.
Like the dehesas and the montados.
Yeah.
It's not just about protecting biodiversity there.
Right.
It's about protecting a way of life that's been in tune with nature for so long.
For centuries.
Yeah. How do we support those traditional practices,
right,
while adapting to the modern world?
It's a big question.
It feels like something's lost if those landscapes disappear.
I agree. It's not just nostalgia either.
Yeah.
Those landscapes hold so much knowledge,
right,
about how to manage land sustainably, which is something we really need right now.
With climate change and everything.
It's like they're living libraries of sustainable practices.
That's a great way to put it.
This whole conversation has been eye-opening.
Good.
Green infrastructure is about so much more,
yeah,
than just protecting pretty places.
It's about the big picture.
Yeah, it's about how everything's connected.
Mm-hmm.
Nature, culture, economics, our well-being.
Yeah, it's all linked.
And it reminds us that we have choices.
We do.
The future isn't set.
Nope.
It's being shaped by what we're doing right now.
Every single day.
So if we want a future with healthy landscapes,
mm-hmm,
landscapes that support both us and all the other life out there,
right,
we have to make different choices.
Different choices.
Choices that put long-term sustainability first,
yeah,
not just short-term gains.
Absolutely.
Choices that recognize the value of both nature and culture.
Mm-hmm.
Choices that embrace that interconnectedness.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
You know, we've only scratched the surface today.
We have.
But I hope this has given everyone some food for thought.
Lots to think about.
Keep exploring these ideas. Dig deeper into those examples from the study.
Yeah.
Think critically about the choices we're making.
Absolutely.
About the future of our landscapes.
Because understanding how humans and nature interact.
Yeah.
That's the key to building a sustainable world.
Absolutely. And on that note.
Yeah.
We'll leave you with one final thought.
Okay.
As the climate keeps changing.
Right.
Those goalposts for green infrastructure.
They're moving all the time.
Yeah. So how can we use what we've learned from the past,
mm-hmm,
to create landscapes that can handle the future?
That's a good question.
Like, what can we learn from the people who have figured out,
yeah,
how to meet human needs and protect biodiversity at the same time?
Right.
The multifunctional forest model seems promising.
Yeah. Definitely some good ideas there.
There's a lot to think about, and I hope this episode,
yeah,
has given you the tools to do just that.
I hope so, too.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been fun.
Into green infrastructure across Europe.